Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Simone Padur, and this is For the Love of Learning, a radio show that I normally run with Christine DiDomenico, my co-host, and at the moment, I believe she is scootering around Rome, the lucky girl, so she's not going to be with us today, probably, unless she gets back on time. And today we have Marnie. Marnie, how do you say your last name? Is it Barranco?
Well, I say it Barranco, but it's debatable. Barranco, okay. Pick one. Whatever you like, we'll do.
So our sort of topic today, we start with a topic and then we go wherever we want, really, is master content creator, creating the content that allows you to be seen and heard, which gives me chills every time I read it. So if you want to tell a little bit about yourself, Marnie, and like how you got into, I know you were a writer, and I'm sure you've got lots of other things in your tool belt that I don't even know about. So just go ahead.
Okay. So writing really started for me in kind of middle school and high school. I actually homeschooled, and it was, you know, back before online computers and all that stuff. I'm older than that. So everything was through the mail, right? Yeah, my kids just think that's ancient. You didn't have computers until you were in sixth grade? I'm like, no. And then we had one big, huge Apple computer that the whole school shared, right? And it was, funny to think back. So anyway, the way the school worked is my books were mailed to me, and then I would, you know, send in all my assignments, tests, and all of that. But it was very focused on writing, and I just found with all the writing assignments, I just loved it. There was something for me about putting words on paper and expressing on paper and getting that it created, like, you know, an energy for people, that it created sensation for people, that they could step into something and experience something just from words on paper, totally lit me up. And so it kind of started there. And then in college, I took, you know, a couple writing classes and that sort of thing. So that's kind of where it began. And then I just started playing with it. One thing I was always able to do was to write for other people. I just had kind of, and that was fun to, when there would be someone that I was just really excited about what they were in the world and what they were talking about in the world, to listen to that and to sort of capture for them those words on paper in the way that they would say it. It's just, I guess it's always been, it's a creative expression, which there's all kinds of forms of that, from, you know, singing to acting to art, and we could go on and on about different forms of expression in the world. And I like many of them. Writing's probably my favorite one, I would say.
Excellent. Well, I find that so funny. You know, it's not something I... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I did. You're breaking up a little bit for me.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
Okay, there you are. No, that was clear.
Okay, that's good. I find it so interesting that, like, taking somebody's voice, like looking at somebody's voice and then writing it as them or writing for them, I find fascinating. I mean, I do it a little bit in art when I'm challenged to do a different style or something like that. But tell me a little bit about that. Like, what is it that you, because to me, the sense I get is it's almost like an actor. You're taking on that character.
It's very much like an actor and taking on that character. And I do a lot of, like, really pulling energy through that person. And how I do that is just asking, like, just kind of, you know, expanding my energy out and then just pulling through that person and sort of getting a sense of just of their energy and of kind of tapping into that and then using that by writing it on paper. I mean, it's kind of that thing where, you know, all day long, every day we walk around picking up on everyone's thoughts and feelings and emotions and thinking that we're angry or that we're crazy or that we're sad or that we're whatever. And then sort of going, oh, so this has always been a frustration to me, how much I know other people's worlds and universes. What if I could use this to my advantage? And that's where I kind of tapped into, oh, I could actually use that to my advantage in being able to write for someone else. Or like, you know, or paint for someone else or whatever. So it's kind of seeing the advantage side of our ability as little psychic beings to tap into other people.
Yeah, because often, I mean, you know, it came up in all that we did, episode that we did lately that's going to be a pre-record about money, how we often, like, our gift to be able to pick up on all of this stuff around us is often thought of as a curse, particularly in the arts. If you're a writer, if you're a painter, you know, there's this trad figure, right? So it's so neat to hear the flip side that you're talking about, that it's like, actually, it's a joy and I can play with it.
And I've even been playing with that, just being around people. When you're, like, you know, at the mall or someplace where there's a lot of people, my son had a college orientation day, and I'm sitting in this auditorium with 500 plus parents and college kids getting ready to go to school, and the noise in my head from what was going on in everyone's world was so loud, you know, the money concerns, and is my kid going to turn out okay, and are they picking the right school, and the kid going, am I going to fit here, is anyone going to like me, you know, and you're just like, it's so loud, and I thought, but I was like, ooh, where is their joy in this room? Where is their joy? Who's being joy right now? And all of a sudden, boom, there was like this energy of joy. And then I went, oh, who's actually in gratitude right now? And it wasn't that I like picked out a person, but all of a sudden that's what I was pulling into my world. So it's just really cool to be able to have access to all of it and not have to shut any of it out, but then also to be able to say, you know, I'd really like to bring some joy into this right now. Where is that in this room?
So
it changed things. Yeah. It was interesting.
So is this a capacity that you always sort of naturally gravitated towards, or, you know, were at one time, are you a tortured artist, or like, how, what was your journey like?
That's a great question. I was a tortured artist, and even though I loved words and I loved writing, there was a certain, like, maybe natural tendency to it. There was also a lot of frustration and a lot of, comparing myself to everyone else. I mean, I know I'm the only one in the world who does that, but sort of going, so I can write, so what? So can a million other people, and they can do it so much better. I mean, did you read this? And did you read that? That's beautiful. I could never write like that. So there was that. And then it's really funny. I had a research paper writing class in college at Mr. Fair. He was such a funny professor, like, the, you know, the big dark glasses on the end of his nose. Mm-hmm. He would sit with a pipe in class, just smoking his pipe all through class. And so research paper was where I actually had to give facts and, you know, provide research, not just my opinion. And I was much, you know, it was a lot easier for me to do the kind of fun creative writing stuff. But he told us, he's like, on your first research paper, come into my office, I will read it for you and I will give you feedback, and then you can go make changes. So he reads through my paper, I'm standing there, you know, your everything you've gotten on paper is being scrutinized, which always feels wonderful. And you're just like sitting there, and then he takes his glasses, and I'll never forget it, and he slides them down to the end of his nose, and he goes, my maiden name was Kitchen Master, so I was Miss Kitchen Master at that time. And he said, Miss Kitchen Master, you can bullshit with the best of them, but that's not going to work in my class. And I walked away. Right? I'm like, really? That's just a bunch of bullshit? He said, that's all it is. So that was one of those, like, you know, where I wanted to go into the, well, I suck. I thought I could do this. I can't do this, and blah, blah, blah. But then I started to ask him questions. What is it that you're looking for? And, you know, I think that's kind of where I started to get the ability to actually write what someone's asking for by asking questions.
Right.
You know, what is it that, what, and so, yeah, so it was kind of a, well, a catapult into stepping it up.
I thought really intriguing, because, I mean, I had a situation, I was on his side of the fence, where I had there's this exam paper that kids do in the UK for art and design. And basically it's like a research paper in that you have to document where you get your inspiration from. And I found it really interesting that kids did not really know how to, and maybe it's just this, maybe they didn't know how to ask the questions and then go find the research. It was like, they just bullshit. I'm like, your bullshit's great, but you got to back it up.
You got to back up your bullshit. That's right. Well, and actually, I mean, it was such a learning thing for me, hugely, because I did learn how to do what he was asking for. And it's been something that I've been able to carry over into writing, because so many times, like, when you're writing on a topic that maybe you have a different perspective on, when you can pull out somebody, you know, a historical person from the past or a current modern day person, celebrity, or somebody that everybody knows, and you can quote them and you can say, here's what they say, and this is what they see, or this is what they've studied, and this is what they know, and here's what I get about that, and here's where my perspective is slightly different. You're actually, I like to call it, whether it's writing or any kind of creative expression, you're building a bridge for people where they exist to what you'd like to introduce as a question or a possibility to them. So being able to document, being able to look at those things and then pull that in is huge for being able to build a bridge where you're actually taking people going, okay, you know this, this might be familiar to you, or this person is, so let's look at that, and then would you be willing to step a couple steps over here and look at this? So it's a really good tool. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and I would imagine in art. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. I was just looking at, like, so much in art as well. There is this thing, and I don't know who perpetuated this lie, this myth, whatever you want to call it, that you have to do it all on your own. Like, it has to, you have this brilliance has to drop into your head, and then you have to lay it out there, where it is rarely like that. I mean, we're thieving from all over the place all the time. So what is it, I mean, apart from that professor, like, how did you start to go to, okay, so I don't really know what my question is here, so.
To sort of do that, to sort of incorporate all of Well, I think
and
what you said is like,
wrong.
What was that?
And not make yourself wrong, because so many people make it wrong that you use other things to support you.
You should just be able to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I would get tired of listening to myself talk, and I live with myself all the time. Just saying.
Yep.
So I imagine everyone else would too. But there is something about, so for me, it's like I think there's a really big starting place of recognizing the gift that you are, recognizing the contribution that you are, recognizing you do have a perspective that no one else might have, and you do know stuff that other people don't know. So there's first sort of a acknowledging of yourself, I do have something to say, but how much, like, none of us have gotten where we are in life without the input of a million people and a million, you know, songs or plays or things we've read or things that, you know, we've heard people say, or the key people in our life. I mean, we've received so much to get us to where we are today. How much more are we, like, offering to the world when we take, you know, what this person said and what we've gleaned from this person, and we spin it through our own filter and our own experience and our own way of how it sort of percolates and how we get it, and then we say it, how much fuller is it? It's, you know, it's like a garden that has one kind of tree versus a garden that is filled with birds and butterflies and every kind of plant and every kind of flower and every kind of tree, you know, it's like that. So being willing to, like, pull all of it in, you're just going, here's me in the mix, and here's all of these other voices that have contributed to what we're creating in the world. And how rich and full is that?
Well, and as you speak about it, it makes total sense to me. And I'm just, at the same time, I'm mind blown because I don't know if I missed that memo or how that happened, particularly in writing, because writing does not, like, I know, what's her name, Elizabeth, the one that wrote Eat, Pray, Love, I can never remember her last name.
I can't either, but I know what you mean.
Yes. So, like, she talks about, like, sometimes it's like running up a hill with a stone attached, like a boulder attached to your head. And for me, that's what writing is. Like, it, so can you talk a little bit about, like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think you're alone. And it's funny because that's what, like, art is for me.
Yeah.
I have so many points of view how I am just a horrible artist and I can't even draw six figures. I can't even play Pictionary, you know? So I get that on the art side totally. And I think the thing is, It's like being willing to let go of your points of view, that there's a way it's supposed to be, that there's a way it's supposed to look, that this is good art, this is good writing, this is bad art, this is bad writing. It's like letting go of all of that and just being willing to create, just being willing to express. And, you know, who cares if someone likes it or not? It's almost like, because it is, when you draw a picture or you paint something or you write something or you're an actor in a play, you're still putting yourself out there, whether it's putting yourself out there on the stage or putting yourself out there, you know, as an artist or the writer. And there's a vulnerability that comes with that, because it's sort of like, oh, people are going to look at this and they're going to judge it. So what if we were, and so that's where a lot of us stop. We don't even want to start, because what kind of judgment are we inviting by putting ourselves out there in whatever form we're putting ourselves out there? So what if we were okay with that and just willing to express?
I also wonder about the process too, because it you know, for so many people, they, you know, well, I sit down and I write this, and then that's how it is. But that isn't, I remember a guy in college, and it just blew my mind the way he would write an essay, is he would write all his thoughts down, and, you know, and then he would cut every sentence up into little strips, you know, of paper. And then he would put them on his desk or on his floor, and he would move them around. And I was like, people write like this? Like,
and that's awesome.
So, I know. Like, it just blows. There's some of the things you talk to people about when it comes to writing, and they think it has to be a certain way. Like, what do you know, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. One of the things I've done with people, just an exercise, is like just to close your eyes and just, you know, take a few deep breaths, and then just picture a butterfly in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you just sort of like, it's sort of like a visualization, but you just watch the butterfly and you just follow the butterfly. And where does the butterfly go when it lands on the tree? And what does the tree look like? And so you follow this butterfly around for 2 or 3 minutes, whatever, watch where the butterfly goes. And you just, it's kind of like letting your imagination just sort of go where it would like to go. And then when you stop that, just sit down and write, like, what was the tree like? What was the, don't try to put it in coherent sentences. Kind of like you said, the guy cut the things up. It's just like, you know, what was the visual that stood out to you as you followed the butterfly? What did the butterfly look like? How did you feel when you watched the butterfly? So just starting to, because for a lot of people, there's a disconnect between maybe their imagination or the way they see things, and then putting it on a piece of paper. So if you just start with something simple and just like a description, just give a description of the tree, of the butterfly, of the sky, whatever it was that you noticed. Because it's sort of that first step of just taking words and getting them on paper in a way that expresses and creates. And it's funny, like with, I was going to say with art, like I said, I just have, you know, nobody wants to be my partner in Pictionary. I cannot. It's like, that's a sick person? Really? So they have this place here in Colorado Springs, and it's called, what is it called? I can't remember. But you go and you basically get a glass of wine and you get a painting easel, and then an instructor stands up there and she talks you through painting a picture. And so you do this and then you do this. And so it was really fun. And at the end of the day, I had a picture that actually looked like a picture. And I was following somebody step by step. It wasn't my own creation, but it was sort of like the confident boost of, oh, maybe I could do this. And if nothing else, it was fun. So I sort of got past that. I suck at this. And you know what? Let me take a paintbrush. And if it requires a glass of wine, that's okay too. Let me take a paintbrush and let's paint a picture.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. I know that like Stephanie Richardson and I have been doing this show once a week, where we just talk about art, and we talk about, because she comes from, and this is like the writing, she comes from a very different area, or whatever you want to call it, style, it doesn't matter. Where, I mean, she's very abstract in a lot of the things she does. She can draw realistically as well, but it's not something that she finds easy. Necessarily. And it's, and there's also with that whole, like, getting it right kind of thing mm-hmm. when you do realism,
yeah.
right? And so we were chatting about that and really like all the different ways you can approach it and then like setting ourselves challenges and stuff. I don't know why I went off into that distance. Oh, I know why. Because getting back to writing is that what I noticed is if you have a natural aptitude or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, somebody smacked you on the head with the writing stick or something. is that a lot of people, the people that you go to school with or surrounded, if you're not one of those people that was hit by the art stick or the math stick or the writing stick, often
yeah.
I find is you then make yourself wrong for not doing it like them. Like I had friends, and this kind of reminds me of Gary's penis story, so I'll tell that in a minute, where they, like all of the friends I had in high school, they had this amazing capacity to write in different ways. Like one would write essays on the way to school, and she had this like brilliant journalistic kind of way of writing. And I was surrounded by these people. And like Gary Douglas, founder of Access Consciousness, he talks about thinking he had a small penis for the longest time because he had really big penises. But he didn't know that. And that's kind of how it was for me for writing, because they were sort of savants about it. Like it was a bit ridiculous. And I sort of thought, then I'm just wrong because I can't write my essays on the way to school.
Yeah. Well, and how many of us is that, that's our story in one way or another? I mean, you know, I remember being in like third grade and drawing a picture and the art teacher getting down on my level and telling me it was a good thing I was cute and smart because I couldn't draw. And like, oh. And so, you know, there was this, I can't write, I can't draw. I mean, and so there was this just kind of a conclusion. And then I would look around at everyone else and compare mine. And then there just came a point where you're actually challenging me in this because, you know, well, the art picture that I painted was the first thing. I was like, I'm gonna explore this more because there was never mind. I don't have that talent. So goodbye. I'll do something else I can do. And how often and how many areas do we do that? And if we would let go of it's supposed to look a certain way and we didn't compare ourselves to anyone else, what might be really fun to create? You know, I mean, you look at kids before those points of view get impelled and they buy them, they don't care. They're, you know, it's fun to write. It's fun to draw. It's fun to paint. It's fun to build in the sandbox. It's fun to go build a fort out of, you know, pillows. They're just in constant creation mode. I don't know why this reminds me, but then I used to live in Minnesota and they had like a tour of lights, where you'd go around this little map and drive all the houses that were decked out with Christmas lights. And so we went on this one street and literally both sides of the street, every house, I mean, big Santa Clauses, big reindeer, you know, with moving heads, all these lights, just massive, huge, beautiful stuff. And the very last house on one street had one little strand of arrow of light in the shape of an arrow pointing to all of the other houses. I loved that. I laughed so hard. And it was like, of all of the houses that I saw, that's the one that made me the happiest. That's the one that I remember the most because it was just this creative, look that way. And I so how many of us, like, maybe we don't draw, you know, like a Picasso. Or maybe we're not going to write like a famous author. But when we're willing to do whatever our expression is, it lights somebody up, you know? It offers something.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the interesting thing that I found, because I used to teach English, and I don't consider myself like a proficient writer in the sense that I'm not going to go with my first novel tomorrow, or I might, but I doubt it. I've always loved language and I've always loved reading and I've always, and so to come across kids that were learning to write and, you know, they were at completely different levels. Like some of them had trouble putting a sentence together. Others were like writing their first memoir, you know, like it was a real mixed bag.
Yeah.
And what I found most interesting was that a lot of the time, and I'm not making teachers wrong out there because I know there's a lot of brilliant teachers. I've worked with some of them. And what I find is that no matter what your field is, that a lot of people forget how they got there.
Yeah,
they didn't fall off the brilliant tree. They usually had a road somewhere along.
Yes.
And what I found for myself is that I had not been given the tools to write. I had not been shown, okay, so this is how you can play with this. This is how you can make it ease. And because I wasn't a proficient writer, I had to look at it that way because I couldn't be like, here you go, kids, go and be brilliant. I'm really curious, like, what are some of the tools that you use with people to break that barrier of like, okay, like, here's your first baby step. Here's an exercise to do. What are some of your favorites, like, to ask?
Yeah. So the one that I said of like, follow the butterfly, I love that. And a lot of people have had a lot of really breakthroughs with that because it's just more a play thing. It's not like, there's no rules and there's no outcome that's expected. And so it kind of gets people past that and then they can just have fun with it and play with it. Yeah. Another thing I love is to have people go through like magazines and just look at pictures that pop at you and don't like second guess it. Just whatever the picture is, like, it stands out to you for whatever reason. Cut it out, glue it on a piece of paper, and then just start to write. What is this picture represent to you? What does it make you think of? What do you feel when you're looking at it? What kind of a response does it evoke in you? And again, just sort of like starting to use words, descriptive, where you're connecting the sensory world with a word, with a sentence, with you know, that sort of thing. So just kind of tapping into the sensory world in little kind of ways, and then just start putting some stuff on paper if it's fun, you know. And there might be some people that writing's never going to be fun. And that's okay too. Like, and another thing is like, talk, like, get a recorder of some kind on your phone or whatever and tell a story or talk about something that lights you up, that you just get excited about. And then either transcribe it or have someone else transcribe it or just listen to it and then go, huh, if I was putting this on a piece of paper, you know, what would that be like? And start to play with that, because you've got the energy of you on the recording and of your voice on the recording and whatever it is that lights you up. And then, you know, kind of putting it on paper that way.
That's a really good point, because I find like writing, like either when I'm writing with my hand or typing, like, it's just not fast enough.
And
and I miss whole chunks. Like, I go back, and the funny thing is, like, even editing, if I don't read it aloud to myself, and even when I do, I will fill in parts that aren't there.
It's
amazing.
And and actually, a lot of books that are written, the people that have their name on the cover, they talked into a recorder and someone else transcribed it. Someone else transcribed what they talked, and then somebody took that transcription and put it in order in a way that, you know, was cohesive so people could follow along. And a lot of the best writers, what they don't tell you, they talk and someone else takes the content and organizes it for them. So
so that just makes me think, like, how much judgment are we using? It's kind of like looking at magazines, you know, like fashion magazines. Like, you're judging yourself for the Photoshop that they used.
Exactly. And wondering why you can't do it that well.
God, I'm gonna give that up onto Jesus. My goodness.
Right?
My brain is like cracking apart.
Well, mine is when you talk about art, because it's so funny. I didn't realize how much resistance I still had to that, how many conclusions I still have about it. Like, how funny is that? I just, I was going to say, what if our whole approach to any kind of content or any kind of creative expression was just, what would make this fun? And if I was seeing myself and my creation through the eyes of no judgment, what would I create, mm-hmm. and how would I, what would it look like to me? I mean, no judgment. How would I be with every little creation that I'm sending out into the world?
Well, I wonder too, like, how much people pick up the judgments you have of your work. Like, I'm thinking, no matter what you're in, like art, whatever.
Yep.
And that, it's through that filter they then see it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. And it comes through. Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder, like, with things like, you know, there's an exercise in Right Voice where you take a painting and you take all the projections and expectations and all of the stuff, all the judgments that have been heaped on. I wonder, it's never occurred to me before, if you could do the same thing with things that have been written.
Yeah, that would be very fun to play with. Very fun to play with. Yeah, and if you pulled the judgment out of it, how would it show up that it's not showing up right now? Yeah. Right. And you know, another piece of the whole vulnerability of putting yourself out there, how often do we, right? We're the only two, Simone. How often do we write something, paint something, dance something, act something, you know, whatever expression is fun for us or that, you know, we put our hand to, and then we turn it over to someone else, whether, hey, read this, give me feedback, or, hey, look at this picture, give me feedback. Not that there's anything wrong with that, and it's nice to hear what other people say, but how often do we turn over, what's the word I'm looking for? We almost turn ourselves over to their judgment of it, and then we align and agree with their judgment or resist and react to it because, you know, no, it's got to be good. I'm going to fight. Or, yeah, you're right. It probably sucks or whatever. Or even if it's a positive one. And what if we were willing to just, like, let it be seen but not make anybody else's point of view valuable about it at all?
Yeah.
And be able, you know, we could even be able to receive feedback, but it's not valuable, nor is it necessarily true. It's just someone else's point of view. And, you know, like if we were willing to not ever make ourselves less than someone else or smaller than someone else, then how much more free would we be just to create in the world and send our creations out and let them do what they want to do?
And I also wonder, like, in that certification period, like, I learned this the hard way. I've learned to ask the question before I actually show somebody something that maybe I'm a little tentative about or because I've had it where people have just lambasted me and I had to like pot and pock myself and lick my wounds and like get back out there, you know. Because I personally would never ever do that to somebody, not intentionally anyway.
Right.
You know, and just being aware that it may not be like everybody else in that you, because I know I can sense like you may be similar to this, Marty, is that you're excited when you see people creating and you're like, yay. Yeah. Where there's some people that are not so nice that aren't
totally
out there to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a really great point is to ask the question of, is it light to show and share this with this person or not? And then follow if it is and don't if it's not.
Create.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, for your, go ahead.
No, I was going to kind of go a different direction, so go ahead.
Sure. So I'm madly off in all directions. With your personal like writing, like what do you like to create in the world? Like what is, I don't want you to divulge what you're working on, but what are some of the things you like to create?
Yeah. So I do like to write. I like to write articles. I haven't written a book, but I'm actually in the process of writing my very first book. And I'm excited. I'm excited to do that. The thing that lights me up is just instilling a question into people's world. And I see that writing can do that. Art can do that. A song can do that. But as people on the planet, we get so used to just sort of the autopilot of our life or everything we've decided and concluded or the belief systems we've bought from other people. And there's, you know, it's like the Walking Dead. It's like zombie land, you know, looking for the next mind trip to distract us for a little while. And then we go back to just, you know, zombie land. And when a question comes into somebody's world, even if it's just the tiniest little question, and there's the slightest little curiosity of, maybe something could be different. Maybe something else is possible. I always thought this, but maybe there's something else. That to me is like the, I guess, inspiration to let's write, let's create.
Yeah.
And where can it go and where can it land? And because just one question, it's like one question inserted into somebody's world can change everything. Things will never be the same, even if they don't know, even if they can't go back. Yeah, I read this article back 2 years ago and there was this, even if they can't point to it, something got shifted, something got changed, something that was a really solid set pattern and way of being in the world got disrupted with a question, and now something else is possible. And that makes me really, really excited.
Yeah, that is just, I remember you talking about that on boot camp. And to me, I don't know why, but I wanted to always give everybody everything, and I probably do this in many different places. Whereas you just like, it's simple. You just give them a little, like a little breadcrumb. And then you tell them about the breadcrumb, and then you maybe elaborate on the breadcrumb. And then you go back to the breadcrumb at the end. And I was like, wow, it's that simple? Like, I don't have to go in with the circus and the march band.
Right? Yeah, and I did mention this on boot camp too, but it's, you know, tell people what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. It's just really simple. If you said one thing, hey, here's what I'm going to talk to you about, and then here's a little bit more on that, and here's what I just talked to you about. Because it is this, there's a thread, and then there's a theme, and then there's a takeaway from it where it can come in, versus if it's too much, it's like, whoa, I don't know where to start with all that. That's too far removed from where I'm currently functioning. But this little piece, okay, maybe that.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
And
And
it makes me think, like, people, and I know I'm guilty of this too, I hang my head in shame, people don't really listen. And I get it, maybe. Similar when they're in reading. Like, I know I pay more attention when I'm reading, but maybe not much. And then that simple tool, repeating yourself, is so valuable. I just
love that. No, and it really is. We really don't listen all that well. And there's actually some study, and they directed towards men, which I thought, well, I think women probably fall in there too. But it was basically that we listen 7% of the time. We're not really listening the other 93%. And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, actually, that's probably really true. And then there was another study about, like, how much of our day we actually remember the next day. And it was so small. It was under 10%. I think it might have been under 5% even. It was such a little. Mm-hmm. And I kind of first went, really? But then you think back 10 years, you don't remember what happens in any given day. I mean, you really don't. There's certain things that stand out, but most of it doesn't. And so, just sort of, that's another, how do I use that to my advantage? And just, here's a little something.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about art, though, actually, is because there's not anything to do except look at it. And when you're in the space of just looking at something, there's no barriers up. There's no trying to get a right answer. You're just observing this, and you can so, you know, just like, be inspired or wonder about something, or, there's so much that it kind of evokes in people.
Well, and I wonder, too, because, like, when I'm making art, I often have the television going, or I'm listening to a podcast, or I'm listening to music, and I actually find if I have something visual and audio going on and I'm making something, my brain is able to function a lot better. So I'm wondering often, even in lectures I used to, in masterclass for music, I would actually draw the people that were on stage. Primarily because they were there and I thought, hey, figure drawing, excellent. It also allowed me to be present in a way that I normally wasn't willing to be.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and for me with writing, I tend to not have stuff going on in the background, but what I find I do a lot is I used to, it's like, you know, you hear about writer's block. You're writing and you hit the wall and it's just not happening. I used to, you know, I'm a good Midwestern girl. Soldier on, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Find a way to make it happen. So I would do that. Like, I'm fighting this thing I'm writing and dang it, where are the words? And I stopped doing that because it didn't work. And I really will just walk away. And that's the other thing. I have lost any point of view I have about ever finishing anything. If it never gets completed because it's not there, then whatever got written will just stay as it is. It doesn't have to be completed. I am not trying for an outcome. I'm not trying to, you know, it's just whenever that whatever wall, I get up, I go for a walk, I go drink a cup of tea, I go, you know, I go shopping, I go do something. I don't like to shop. That's not really the one I do, but I go do something. And I'll just like, I'll actually ask the article or the whatever a question. Hey, what else? Is there an energy that you require? What could people hear from you? What is it that you would like to contribute to this? What would you like to be said in the world? And would you contribute to me finding those words and finding that expression? And I'm going to go walk away. And I just like let it percolate. And it's amazing when I do that and I let it go. It's like I don't take my energy out of it where I'm mad at you because I don't know what to do with you and I'm avoiding you because you're not cooperating with me. It's not that. My energy's with it, but my attention isn't on it. My attention went somewhere else. And then it's like all of a sudden something will like trickle in and I'll go, boom, got it. Happens all the time. Yeah. And so, and you know, so like when you're stepping out into some expression that you've maybe avoided or that isn't easy for you, being in that space of not fighting it, when it just becomes this isn't ease or fun anymore, okay, I'm still with you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at me. Whatever this is, that's cool. I'm going to go put my attention on something else. And if you'd like to be creative further, let me know. And let me know what it is. And just let it be.
Yeah.
It creates a lot of space and a lot less judgment.
Because I was a fight it team.
Oh, me too.
And then when I would walk away and realize that actually it needed to just rest, it was a lot easier, and I had a clarity with it that I hadn't before. And my other thing that I get really grumpy when I write, like if somebody, and it could talking like an opus, you know, whatever they call that. What is that? Like if it's the tiny, as I said, with art, I can have a million and one things going on. I become like a man and it distracts me. Sorry for stereotypes.
So just like this isn't fun for me kind of thing.
Well, no, it's not so much that. It's more like if I'm in the zone and I'm doing it, and let's say like my boyfriend walks in, or you know, somebody phone rings, I'm just like, rah! Like the fact that I've been interrupted just sends me off the edge.
Got it. And so then, do you like stop writing, or is it?
Yeah, I lose it. It's like had the tail of the dragon, and I was pulling him in.
Yeah.
And then somebody made me let him go. I can't remember what I was doing.
Yeah, so I've actually had that happen too. And sometimes, I mean, I don't know if this works for you. Sometimes I'll just be like, hand in the air, I cannot be interrupted right now. Give me 5 minutes, you know, and do that. And everybody that knows me knows, leave her alone. She is in the zone.
You may lift your head and cover.
Yeah. Or I'll be like, okay, I need to write down, boom, 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 1, 2, 3. And then I'll say, hey, will you bring this back to me when I can sit down again? I'll just ask. And it will come back like, hey, cool. I've got to go over here, but can you bring this back to me when it's time to sit down again?
Yeah,
and
that's great.
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah, it'll start to pop back up.
Because it's almost like that, I don't know where this came from, but it's almost like the inspiration goddess, god, whatever,
yep.
comes in and like, I mean, to just do it.
Yeah, hey Simone, you were cutting in and out a little bit. I missed the last little bit you said.
Oh, I really missed all. No,
I heard God or goddess inspiration, God or goddess, and then you were choppy. Are you
okay?
Are you back?
Can you hear?
You're still cutting in and out. Still, it's still choppy. Okay, now you're there.
I'm here now.
That sounds
okay.
Good. Yep.
So basically, what I was asking about was like this idea of like this inspiration. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. This inspiration, the idea that it'll just be sort of dangled in front of you, and if you don't grasp it right away, then you know you have missed your chance of becoming the best.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
I do. So, I mean, so first, like, everywhere there's a best, like, start with destroying that whole idea. And that's, you know, an interesting thing that you bring up, because there is a lot of, like, competitive energy in all of the arts, from, you know, acting to painting to writing to singing to whatever. And so, like, what if there wasn't a best? And what, you know, there's this space that I've found when I call it frantic mode versus slow mode. And when I get into frantic mode with anything, I've got to do this now. Now's the moment. Here's the inspiration. I've got to seize this. Or, oh, I've got this to-do list, and now I've got to get this through this today. When I'm in frantic mode, there's there's no ease in my world. There's no joy in my world. There's just like frustration and overwhelm and stress. And when I notice that, I just really got to, oh, look at what I'm doing. This is funny. Do I really want to keep doing this? Or would I? And my body has started to go, hello, you told us you weren't going to do this anymore. You're doing this. Would you stop it, please?
Yeah.
Do you not remember? This is not easy on us. And so I'm just like, stop and like take a step back. All right, what's it going to take for me to shift this energy to flow, not frantic? And to be in the flow of creation. And if, you know, if, oh, I have this inspiration. And I do use my phone a lot, though. Like if an idea pops in, I will go and I'll jot it down. And for me, that sort of lets my brain go, okay, it's good. We've got it. We can look back later. And then I can go on to the other thing. So there is, I think all of us maybe have our own way of, like a system that actually does work for us with our creation.
Yep.
Oh, I just need to write it down, or, oh, I need to record a quick little thing on my phone, or whatever works for us with that. So that is one piece of it, and finding out what that is for you. And the other piece is, are we just willing to, whenever we notice frantic, to just take a step back and do something else.
Cool. That's a great piece right there. I mean, my body.
Yeah, mine too. Hey, good reminder. I kind of have been doing a little bit of frantic the last couple of days. I didn't realize that till right now. that's funny.
I'm just looking at stories as well, like getting back to that breadcrumb thing. I'm wondering, like, how often we try to make the stories that we write. I guess I'm watching the Gruffalo. I don't know if you know that story.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, with my niece and nephew, and I was watching it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is basically the same story told in the second book. You know, like, they basically just repeated the story in a different layout. And I've been writing all these children's books that are all half-finished, or, you know, started in the middle, started at the end, and I'm realizing that it really is the Cat in the Hat that people remember, that they go to over and over and over again.
Yeah, it is. And who else on the planet writes like that? No one. And it is, but it is. Yeah. Yeah, and so what if it is that, like being willing to find your unique way of expressing in the world and being willing to have it, no matter what anyone else says. Yeah, and what you said about it's the same story, how many times, that's been a stopping thing for me. It's like, well, yeah, okay, so I can talk about asking questions or possibility. Well, do you know how many other people are talking about it? Do you know how articulate they are? Do you know how amazing writers they are? What do I actually have to say that hasn't already been said? And, you know, how many of us stop because that's our point of view? But the thing is, even if it's the same story, your way of saying that same story is different than anyone else says it. Your way of painting it, your way of dancing it, your way of acting it, your way of being it, it's different than anyone else's. And there's people that can hear you that can't hear someone else. And and what does it contribute to you, actually, too, when you take all of those amazing voices and you percolate it through your being and you go, here's how I interpret it. Here's what it's changed for me. Here's what I know about this. I mean, it's just like it adds to the chorus. It's the whole choir instead of, you know, just the one note. And
Well, and the awarenesses that you get from even, you know, even if you never, you know, showed your work or published your work or whatever, just act of going through it creates an awareness that you may never, like me talking to you. I mean, never write these stories, but just me talking to you has allowed me to have those awarenesses of what's going on with those stories.
So much. And every time I write something, and there are times when I'll write something and it might even be in someone else's voice, and then I'll read through it and I'll go, ah, that's exactly what I required today, you know? And how awesome is that? You know, if it does something else in the world, awesome. And it shifted something for me, awesome. So how cool is that?
Yeah, that is super cool. So we've got about 7 minutes left, and I'd love to know, like, where people can contact you, if you've got any classes about writing, where they be, do you do them online, can I take one?
Actually, I have a class that's in the works. It is not, the date will be, it will be coming, and it's either going to be April or May, and it's going to be actually like a 6-week master content creator course, and I'm actually teaming up with Crystal Crawford, and we are going to talk about everything from writing to videos to just creating, and it's going to be like we'll do a thing on writing and have like a call, how many ever people are on it. And then we're going to do small groups of not more than 5 where we actually dig into stuff. Like, here, you know, write this and then let's talk about it. What came up and, you know, just kind of move some stuff and clear some stuff and gain some tools and all that kind of thing. So the best place, honestly, my website is in process right now. So the best thing is to email me with questions and then I can send you information. And it's MarnieBarenko@accessconsciousness.com. And I can spell that if you would like. It might be easier. So it's M-A-R. Yeah, because Marnie's not a name that you hear very often.
No.
It's M-A-R-N-I-E, Barenko, B-A-R-R-A-N-C-O, @accessconsciousness.com. And I will respond to anyone who has a question or would like more information on that class.
Awesome.
And
can people reach you on Facebook as well, or?
Yes. Facebook is also very awesome. Yep. I am on Facebook. Cool. I believe I'm the only Marnie Barenko, so you should find me.
Excellent. Well, I am so grateful that you are out in the world. When I first heard you on boot camp, I was just like, oh, and for those people out there, and they're like, what is this boot camp she speaks of? Both Marty and I work with a company called Access Consciousness, which is tools and philosophies to change different parts of your life. And you can see that at accessconsciousness.com and find out more about it. And it's amazing because you can apply it to all kinds of different parts of your life, including writing, and get over your points of view and all of the stuff that you thought that you could never get rid of and you have to live with for the rest of your life, you can actually, if you choose it, change it, which is really cool. And it's really exciting about what Mommy and Crystal are doing, because this, I mean, I myself, like, For this topic, I'm like, oh my God, I've got Marnie and then I've got Lisa. Like, what am I going to do? Because this has been such a bugbear for me for most of my life. It's just like finding the way that works for me and not making myself wrong in this area. I think the next one I will attack is maybe mathematics. So we will have Connor on to talk about that.
I'm going to be on for that when listening.
I know.
Okay? And Connor will be awesome about that. He will be absolutely awesome on that.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's so neat to talk to the people like yourself who they don't really have much of a point of view about it. And it is just play. And that's why Christine and I started this show, is because we wanted to expose, maybe not the right word, but just show people out there that, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I love that, because when we're playing, we're learning and we don't know we're learning. And my son had the most amazing kindergarten teacher. I was so grateful for that man. And when Aaron, my son, went into first grade, I mean, he was an outstanding reader. He was way ahead of the pack in math and all of this. And the thing was, the class was structured that they played. In Aaron's mind, all he did all day long was played. He did not once for one second think he was learning or being taught anything. But then he gets to first grade and the teacher's like, oh my goodness. And every kid from that class were way ahead of everything because they played. And they didn't know there was any learning, like, snuck into it. And, like, how much, you know, like, what would we glean if we just approached everything with, how can I play with this? How would this be fun?
Exactly.
You know, it would change everything.
That's what I would love
to see more of in the world, is let's play. And we won't even know what we're learning while we're learning so much.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Well, thank you so much, Marnie. And I don't know who we have on next week because my trusty assistant and co-creator is not here, and she's really good at keeping track of all of that for me. So it will be a surprise. And if you want to re-listen to this episode, you can, which is really exciting. I know I will be. I'm so, so grateful. So thanks again, Marnie. And I look forward to hearing about and seeing creation and seeing where and when I can join it.
Awesome. Thanks, Simone. Thank you so much for the invitation. And you're always delightful to talk with. So I appreciate
it. Thank you. And thanks to all our listeners. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye.